This poem is called Driving Gloves, and it refers to a kind of personal mythology that I have about Americans and their relationship to the automobile, which I hinted at in Hitchhikers, the first poem I read. The fact that perhaps the only act of meditation that the average American permits himself is driving alone in his car. And I suppose you can look at it as a very desperate situation, as I saw the desperation of the Honolulu gorilla with his television set and his poor beaten-up wife on her waterbed. Instead, I do see some kind of hope in this image of the automobile as a creation where the average American man permits himself a life of philosophy and meditation. And for me is a symbol that the world of technology does not have to deny us our individuality, or in fact all the virtues of those individual arts like philosophy. This poem is dedicated to Ann Winters. Driving Gloves. I wish my past had been a volcano, spewing me out on a shower of hot sparks, but it wasn't. I came from a sad family. I tried to run away, and I thought I made the probable improbable. But that was a fancy, a short-lived sweet pea climbing up my back fence, like a girl's summer organdy dress worn only once or twice. Some of their sadness had to be in me. Throw these lines away, vines that did not flower. A bud is not a summary. It is the total in a reduced form. The perverse mimic, the desire to repeat whatever's heard or seen. The genes, some big sound studio, a memory eye, a stain from Mendelssohn traced through the fluted pea family. I learned to drive a car when I was 32 years old. I went back to California, where everyone but me was driving by 16. And twice that age, I hired a teacher, hired a car, and learned to drive. It made me feel free. I hate cliches. But when you leave your life alone, there is nothing it can become but a cliché. From the beginning, I insisted on what my friends considered an affectation. I wore gloves for driving. I said the wheel got too hot or cold, that my hands got sweaty or stiff from rheumatism, that I did not feel in control without gloves. In California, almost no one wears gloves or a hat. They are considered affectations, especially in the lower classes from which I come. Yet I remembered this December, while driving to California from the East Coast after 4 long years of being a licensed driver, that my mother, improbable as it seems, my mother used to wear gloves to drive in. My mother, who went to a one-room school, who lived in a house with a dirt floor, who never wore gloves on any social occasion I can remember, who never wore a hat, who never had any place fancy to go, who never even had a job she had to dress up for. She wore gloves when she drove a car. It is the perverse voice that speaks in us, going back to old inflections, old fictional language of other characters. Anne, your father has written what, 10 unpublished novels? Surely a noble action we should all admire, that a man could continue doing for himself what most of us only do if the world approves. And he is a terrible driver, you say, disapproved by all the family. They shudder when he hits the road. Or did you say he doesn't even have a license anymore? And you're like him, you say. That's why you are over 30 and letting me assist in winning your driver's license. And you reiterate how we're all like some parent or ancestor. But your father also had four wives, or was it five? And you have one husband, a faithful one you would never leave. And didn't you say your father taught English all his life to students who had a hard time reading and writing? And you're a Greek scholar, a speaker of three languages, a blue stocking, if we use that term anymore. And your only associates are people like me, all of us finding the illiterate a painful chore. Yet what are these mimicries that we all look for, that we fear? The one thing that has terrified me in the dark every night of my life is the thought that I would be like my mother, she who only read the Reader's Digest, that I would look like her, heavy and unfashionable, that I would talk like her in a high, polite voice, and worse, have nothing interesting to say, that I would be condemned to a life like hers, a sad life, discreet of imagination. But here I am, unaccountably, with my driving gloves. Some stain Mendelssohn found, like the mole on my left shoulder, which has its mysterious twin somewhere. And you don't want to drive badly, or write unpublishable books, or spend your life teaching the unteachable. I don't want to spend my life like my mother, unable to get along with people yet convinced that I need them, working all my life at jobs I hate and which do not pay much either, insisting that I love everything anyway, claiming to love my children, parading my sacrifices for them. Talk. Do we have no courage to live our own lives? Do we hope the past will live them for us? No, Anne, you learn to drive because you are not your father. And why do I wear these driving gloves? Because my hands are arthritic? Because I want to feel like a professional driver? Because it is a safety measure? Because my mother did? No, Anne, I wear them because I like to wear them. Our lives are our own. We must assert it. We must ask grace from ourselves, our memories. Let them release us from the past. What is the past, Anne? Only something we have all lived through.